speaking in broken language. Anurakta citta. A person whose mind is attracted. How can a person who is most affectionate to his family, the core of his heart being always filled with their pictures, give up their association? Specifically, a wife is always very kind and sympathetic and always pleases her husband in a solitary place. Who could give up the association of such a dear and affectionate wife? Small children talk in broken language, very pleasing to hear, and their affectionate father always thinks of their sweet words. How could he give up their association? One's elderly parents, one's sons and daughters are also very dear. A daughter is especially dear to her father. And while living at her husband's house, she is always in his mind. Who could give up that association? Aside from this, in household affairs, there are many decorated items of household furniture, and there are also animals and servants. Who could give up such comforts? The attached householder is like a silkworm, which weaves a cocoon in which it becomes imprisoned, unable to get out, simply for the satisfaction of two important senses, the genitals and the tongue. One is bound by material conditions. How can one escape? Hare Krishna. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada will save us in this purport. In household affairs, the first attraction is the beautiful and pleasing wife, who increases household attraction more and more. One enjoys his wife with two prominent sense organs, namely the tongue and the genitals. The wife speaks very sweetly. This is certainly an attraction. Then she prepares very palatable foods to satisfy the tongue. And when the tongue is satisfied, one gains strength in the other sense organs, especially the genitals. Thus, the wife gives pleasure in sexual intercourse. Household life means sex life. Yanmai tunadi grihamedi sukam hitukcham. This is encouraged by the tongue. Then there are children. A baby gives pleasure by speaking sweet words in broken language. And when the sons and daughters are grown up, one becomes involved in their education and marriage. Then there are one's father and mother to be taken care of, and one also becomes concerned with the social atmosphere and with pleasing his brothers and sisters. A man becomes increasingly entangled in household affairs, so much so that leaving them becomes almost impossible. Thus the household becomes Grihamandakupam, a dark well into which the man has fallen. For such a man, to get out is extremely difficult, unless he is helped by a strong person, the spiritual master, who helps the fallen person with the strong rope of spiritual instructions. A fallen person should take advantage of this rope And then the spiritual master or the supreme personality of Godhead, Krishna, will take him out of this deep well. For your information, I did not select this first. It is my destiny to speak on this first. Om Agyan Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshuru Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katam Mayam Tisva Padantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutha Patakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Bhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Today, we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, entitled Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates, texts 1 through 13. This wonderful verse is being spoken to the 5-year-old classmates of Prahlad. And it's being spoken by a 5-year-old child who heard this knowledge from Narada Muni in the womb of his mother. What is interesting is Prahlad is so strongly warning all those in the householder ashram of the dangers of sense gratification. He tells his father, Andakupam, O king of the demons, you're in a deep, dark well where there's no water. And if you scream out for help, no one can hear you. There's only suffering. Why? Because you are too much addicted to this gratifying your uncontrolled senses. So you should give up this well, father, and you should go to Vrindavan and take shelter of Krishna. That's Prahlad's opening lines to his father when he asks him what he learned in school, what subject he liked so nicely. Of course, we read in the later part of 7th canto, Prahlad Maharaj gets married. And he has an affectionate wife who is cooking nice prasad for him. And he has a child, Virochan. And his grandchild is Bali Maharaj. But he's a Mahajan. He was not living in a dark, deep well. In fact, of the 12 Mahajans, over half are Grihasthas. So there is nothing being spoken against Grihastha Ashram here. What is spoken against Grihamedi life? When we get married, that doesn't mean we become Grihasthas. In Krishna consciousness, nothing is just on the basis of superficial status. Everything is based on the quality of our life. A brahmachari is not one that wears saffron. A brahmachari who lives by the principles of simplicity, austerity, humility, that is brahmachari. And similarly, a grihastha is one who sense gratification is not the focus of one's relationship with wife and family, but service to Guru and Krishna is the focus. That is grihastha life. If sense gratification is the predominant focus, that is grihamedi life. Srila Prabhupada explains grihamedis are too much attached to all the stuff we're reading about today. And not only that, but they become envious of others. Because sense gratification creates false pride. Of course, renunciation can also create false pride. And when there is pride, there is envy. So although we're reading so wonderful details about what happens when one becomes entangled in the mind and the senses, Srila Prabhupada writes in another purport, because we have to see everything in a whole picture. Because if we just take this purport as all in all, Hare Krishna, we'll have some really interesting classes. But Srila Prabhupada also writes that if a husband and wife are living together congenially with Krishna in the center, worshipping the deities in their home, then the house is Vaikuntha. And it is to be understood that Lakshmi and Narayan are living in that home. Hari Bol. So that's a matter of our choice. That's a matter of how we choose to live. Do we want our house to be andakupam, a deep, dark well? Or do we want our house to be Vaikuntha? Srila Prabhupada writes, wherever there's a temple of Krishna and the worship is going on with sincere devotion, it is Goloka Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us by his example and by his associates how to attain prema bhakti in this life. And he was very, very strict. In one morning walk in Mayapur Dham, when there was a conflict between sannyasis and grihasthas within the Hare Krishna movement. sometimes conflicts do happen in the Hare Krishna movement. And each one had their philosophical principles to defend their positions. And usually sannyasis have a lot of verses memorized. So it was ultimately brought to Srila Prabhupada's attention. And Prabhupada gave such a perfect analysis. He said, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he encouraged everybody. He said, by the power of bhakti, devotional service, one can attain perfection in any of the ashrams. Grihe tako, vane tako, sadahari pole tako, suke duke bulo tako, padane harinam korore, gai gora madhu svare. Whether we're grihastha, living with a family, or whether we're a sannyasi living in the jungle, if we sincerely take the name of Krishna, we can go beyond all happiness and distress of this world. Srila Prabhupada gave example of Chota Haridas. He was a brahmachari. But because he deviated from the principles a brahmachari should live by, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu condemned him. He chastised him intensely. Yes? At the same time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prabhupada says in this morning walk, met with Shivananda Singh in Jagannath Puri. And Shivananda Singh told Lord Chaitanya that my wife is having a baby. Now everyone knows what you have to do to have a baby. Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He was ecstatic to hear that Shivananda Singh was having a baby. He even named it. He said, when the child is born, you can name him Paramananda Puri. Named after Lord Chaitanya's guru's godbrother. So Prabhupada was saying, just see how Lord Chaitanya was so pleased and so interested in a pregnant wife. Hare Krishna. And then the next year, Shivananda Singh came with the little baby, who he named Puri. Paramananda, but Puri for short. And he presented the little baby to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya didn't say, Maya, product of sex life. And Lord Chaitanya is the crest jewel of all sannyasis. He's the example for all sannyasis. Now, you can't imitate Lord Chaitanya, especially in this particular pastime. But we can understand his spirit. Lord Chaitanya was so happy to see this baby, he stuck his toe in the baby's mouth. And little Puri Das was sucking Lord Chaitanya's toe. Hariva. And he became the great Kavi Karnapur, one of the greatest Vaishnav poets in the history of our Sampradaya. He wrote Gauragano Deshtapika, Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Sri Chaitanya Chandramrita, so many beautiful, beautiful works. The highest quality of literature. In fact, Lord Chaitanya was so affectionate to Shivananda Singh, when he would come to Puri, sometimes bringing his wife and his children, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would say that your family is my family. Consider me a member of your family. And he told Govinda, whatever my remnants are, first give them to Shivananda Singh and his family. before even the Babaji's and Sannyasi's got Shivananda Sen and his family got Lord Chaitanya's remnants. Every day, he was so affectionate. But what was the quality of Shivananda Sen that attracted Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's heart? His service attitude, his complete absorption in service, his selfless spirit. Every year when the devotees would come to Puri from Bengal, Shivananda Sen would organize everything. He didn't neglect his wife and children, but how much he was enthusiastic to serve. It's actually incredible when one really has a will to serve, how much one can do. And if one doesn't have a will to serve, how much impossible it is to do practically anything. Even in the secular society, it is said, if you want something done, ask a busy person. Don't ask someone who thinks they have too much to do. Well, we have seen people who are really enthusiastic. It's amazing how they can find time to do more and more and more. The mind is such a great obstacle. Prabhupada said, impossible is a world in a is a word in a fool's dictionary. So Shivananda saying he would arrange all the taxes, he would arrange the payment for everybody. He would do all the organizing. And he was so compassionate, even just a stray dog joined his party. Now, if you want to preach in America to people who are really attached to the dogs, just tell this story and they'll be very much attracted to our sampradaya. Shivananda saying he wasn't attached to the dog, he was attached to service to a spirit soul in the body of a dog. This spirit soul has come to see Lord Chaitanya with all the rest of us, whether he knows it or not. He arranged special prasad for the dog, some kind of dog rice. He arranged special rice for the prasad. And when the boatman said, no dogs allowed, he bribed the boatman. He bribed him. He paid him like double money just to get that dog on that boat. And when he was out paying taxes and dealing with all kinds of political affairs to get all the devotees across, you know, different toll booths, the dog was supposed to be fed, but his assistant forgot to feed the dog. So the dog left. And Shivananda Sen had all of his assistants and him, they all went in all directions searching for the dog. Hare Krishna. They couldn't find him. Shivananda Sen felt that he made an offense. A living entity came to accept Krishna consciousness from him and he didn't give it. But when he got to Puri, he went to Lord Chaitanya's house and there was Lord Chaitanya with the dog. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking green coconut pulp and throwing it to the dog and saying, Krishna, say Krishna, say Krishna. And the dog was saying Krishna. And he was eating the coconut pulp right from the hands of the Lord. He was throwing it to the dog. And the next day, the dog went back to Godhead. This is the power of Shivananda saying. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to show that even a dog who is the object of the mercy of such a Vaishnava is going to get his special mercy. Similarly, Srivas Thakur in Navadvip Dham, how Lord Chaitanya loved Srivas. Srivas was so bold. He was having these Nam Sankirtans in his house amongst all the devotees. And so many people hated him. The smarta Brahmins, who were not devotees, they were threatening his life. They were condemning him, blaspheming him like anything. What is this loud chanting? It was Chaturmasya. They said, now Vishnu's sleeping. And you're calling his name so loud, he's going to wake up and get so angry, he'll destroy the whole universe because of Srivas. And not only that, because of this loud, loud screaming, the Mughal king has sent his military, and he's there, and they're coming on boats just to plunder Navadweep because of Srivas. This was the word. Boats of soldiers were coming to attack. And Srivas Thakur, he was so concerned with the welfare of the devotees. He was doing puja to Lord Narasingadev in his altar. And meanwhile, Lord Chaitanya, he's walking along the bank of the Ganges. And he happens to see some cows just playing with each other. Some of them raised their tails and they were jumping, and others were mooing. Dinabandhu Prabhu was expert at mooing like cow. Thank you. You become what you associate with. He's like a gopi, gopa, and Vrindavan, so he's... So the cows were mooing and playing and licking each other, and Lord Chaitanya saw them, and he just entered into the mood of Krishna. This is when he just came back from Gaya. He hadn't even started his chanting with the devotees as of yet. He just came back. And he saw these cows and started screaming, I am he, I am he. And he ran right to Srivas Thakur's house. Srivas Thakur is really in anxiety. Not anxiety for himself, but anxiety for everyone. There's boatloads of military coming to attack because he was breaking the law with the devotees of chanting Hindu names loudly. So he's in there doing his puja to Lord Narasingadev to protect the devotees, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu runs right to the altar and with this just kicks the door open. And there Srivas turns around and there's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he manifests his form of the Lord, Narayan, before Srivas, and says, worship me and offer me prayers. That's when Srivas understood what is the real identity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Lord Chaitanya said to him, why do you fear these soldiers coming? Why do you fear this Malecha king? Don't you know that I will protect you? If those boats and soldiers come, I will get on the boat where the king is, and he will see me. And how will he do anything to harm anyone after he sees me? But if his heart does not change, I will preach to him. And if still his heart doesn't change, I will show him my opulences. And if still his heart doesn't change, I will say to that king, bring all your mullahs and all your priests. And then bring the wild and domestic animals of your kingdom into this courtyard and have them chant their mantras, have them chant their prayers, and get those animals to cry in ecstasy of love of God. And they will do that. And the animals won't cry. and then I will chant the holy names of Krishna. And the elephants, and the dogs, and the cows, and all the other animals, they will weep and weep and weep, and roll in the ground in ecstasy, crying out, Krishna, Krishna. And then all the mulas will fall off from their platforms, and they'll start rolling it around, chanting, Krishna, Krishna. And then the king will fall off his throne, crying and weeping, saying, Krishna, Krishna. And if you don't believe me, just watch and see this. And Srivas's niece was only 4 years old. Her name, Narayani. Lord Chaitanya said, you don't believe me? Watch this. And he turned to Narayani and said, Narayani, chant Krishna's name and cry in ecstasy. And she went, Krishna, Krishna. And then torrents of tears poured from her eyes. Her limbs trembled. Her hair stood on end. And she fell to the ground, rolling in the ground, chanting, Krishna, Krishna. Hare Krishna. Then Lord Chaitanya told Srivas, bring all your family members. Bring all your servants, all your maidservants. Bring everybody. And he brought them all in the room. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed his divine eternal opulences to all of them. He manifested forearm form to them. Manifested his form as Krishna to them. Then he put his feet on the heads of all the family members. And in this particular incident, Vrindavan Das Thakur explains, this is how the Lord shows mercy to anyone who is loved or near to his devotee. Because of Srivas Thakur's selfless devotion, every member of his family, anyone even close to his family, was given prema bhakti by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we understand how of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, the son of Tapan Mishra, who was living in Varanasi. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, do not marry. You have good inclination toward renunciation. Do not become entangled. And Prabhupada says in the purport, for one who is in the married life, spiritual advancement could become very slow or practically nil. Hare Krishna. That's if we get entangled in these subjects that we're reading about today. But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, under a tree in Jagannath Puri, told Nityananda Prabhu, you should get married. Go back to Bengal and get married. So he's told some people to get married and sent people not to get married. Now, you could take either one out of context and be a really powerful preacher. But if we see the whole picture, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu encouraged everyone. He saw the value toward everyone. But if we actually want to be a grihastha, if we want to actually follow in the footsteps of Shivananda Sen, Srivas Thakur, Advaitacharya, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had his personal assistance in Puri of the highest order during the last 12 years of his earthly leela, were Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai. One is a sannyasi. Lord Chaitanya really balanced things very, very perfectly. But sannyasi has to be by quality, and grihastha has to be by quality. And there are very many dangers in both. And here we're reading about the dangers of grihastha ashram. The tendencies that we have to be very strongly aware of. This is not condemning, this is a warning. And it's a very important, it's a very essential warning. Not to simply become a slave of the tongue and the genitals. The Shastric codes for a Grihastha is very much to keep them focused on service rather than sense gratification. Srila Prabhupada used his own spiritual, his own father as an example. How Gaur Mohan Day and his wife, when little Abhay would wake up in the morning, the first thing he would hear is bell ringing. And he'd see his mother and father performing aarti together to Radha Govinda. They're singing, they're offering puja, they're offering bhoga, they're chanting the holy names. So the little child just immediately got that inclination to worship Radha Govinda. Because parents, I mean children, very much, I never had a child, but from what I've seen, what I've heard, children see more than they hear. If you tell them to do something, but they see you doing something else, that's going to be the impression that goes deep inside. You can tell a child that Krishna's all merciful. But if the parent's not merciful, and the parent's supposed to be a devotee of Krishna, then how is the child going to have faith that Krishna's merciful? If the parents are talking about Krishna's love, and they're feeling Krishna's love through the parent, then they're going to have faith in Krishna's love. If they're not feeling Krishna's love coming through the parent, it's going to be very difficult for them to understand what is Krishna's love. Because children are not so theoretical. They're quite practical. Yes? So it's a huge responsibility. The child sees all sorts of sense gratification going on in the house, and the parents are giving lectures to others about giving up sense gratification. They're not going to assimilate that theory. They're going to see this is what life is about. And when there's contradiction, when there's hypocrisy between what's said and what's being done, it's very confusing. So yes, Grihastha Ashram is a huge responsibility. And the secret of success in the path of bhakti, which is so powerful, is those same energies, those same tendencies, they can be dovetailed in devotional service. Now Shankaracharya, Prabhupada quotes, that he would tell his followers, before you can actually follow me, first you have to take sannyas. Hare Krishna. Because this philosophy of Brahma Satyam Jagan Mitya, that the world is an illusion, only Brahman is truth. That means any type of sense gratification, any type of sensual activities is maya. So to actually follow what he's saying, you have to take sannyas first. And you have to be a real sannyasi. But in the path of bhakti, we understand the world is real. It's only temporary. And all the things in the world are meant to be used in Krishna's service. Krishna tells us in Bhagavad Gita that sex life that is performed according to religious principles, I am that sex life. Hare Krishna. It's devotional service to have children according to the principles that Krishna has given us is devotional service. Shivananda Sen had that little boy. Achyutananda was a Dvaitacharya's little boy. And how it is said that there was no one that Lord Chaitanya loved more than Achyutananda. One day Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just arrived in Shantipur, and Achyutananda was only about 4 or 5 years old, and he was only dressed in the four directions. And he was playing, so his body had all dust over it. It's a beautiful story. A sannyasi comes to Advaita Prabhu's house. And Advaita Prabhu says, please come in, take prasad. He said, I will only take prasad after you answer my question. And Advaita said, well, take prasad first, then I'll answer your question. He said, no, I will not take prasad until you answer my question. So what is your question? He said, what is Lord Chaitanya's relationship with Keshav Bharati? So Advaita said, Keshav Bharati is Lord Chaitanya's guru. Immediately, right in front of that Brahmin who was at the house, immediately little Achyutananda, naked little kid, just runs in, small child with his very, squeaky voice. He said, Father, you're in Maya. You're in Maya, Father. What are you saying? How can you say this? You've been teaching me that Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How can he have a guru? He's the guru of all gurus. At the beginning of creation, he instructed Brahma. And the whole knowledge that all gurus have is coming from Brahma, and it's all coming from Lord Chaitanya. He's the Supreme Master. Father, where have you become deluded to think that Lord Chaitanya can have a guru? And Advaita was just in ecstasy. He lifted his son and just started crying, and he started taking dust from his child's feet and putting it all over his body. And we don't read about him even feeding the sannyasi. It seems like the sannyasi, he was thinking like father, like son. He was satisfied. And then the next minute, there's a knock on the door, and Lord Chaitanya walks in. Completely unexpected. And little Achyutananda just flies right into Lord Chaitanya's arms, and Lord Chaitanya's embracing him. He was embracing him like he was his own body with so much affection. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was weeping on this child, and the child was weeping on Lord Chaitanya. And there it says, no one was more loved by the Lord than little Achyutananda. So this is how Lord Chaitanya appreciated Grihastha Ashram, where that service attitude replaces the desire for sense gratification. We have to serve. Jivara Swarupoi Krishnara Nitya Das. We have to serve. That is our constitutional position. Either you're serving your senses or you're serving Krishna's senses. That is the difference between Grihamedi and Grihastha. If we have strong sadhana, we have a strong base by which we can resist the temptations of Maya. It's especially recommended Grihastha's worship the deities. And for all ashrams, sadhana is essential to be spiritually strong. If you don't have good sadhana as a brahmachari or sannyasi or vanaprastha, you're going to fall. It's just a matter of time. Or you'll fall internally, although externally you may make a show. And if you don't have strong sadhana as a grihastha, it's not a matter of maybe or if. It's a matter of fact. That we're going to be more and more charmed by the sensual objects around us. But even if we have very good sadhana, which is necessary, it's foundational to our spiritual integrity, still, we have to make the right choices. Because what gives quality to our sadhana is our behavior. If a person's chanting 64 rounds or 108 rounds, but they're proud and offending devotees, what kind of sadhana is that? Our sadhana is good to the degree it pleases Krishna, not to the degree that the numbers are fulfilled. Real sadhana is what is hearing and chanting in a way that pleases Krishna. Our spiritual advancement does not come by how many rounds we chant or by how many pages we read or by how many lectures we give or how many disciples we make or how much money we donate. That is not what our advancement is about. Our advancement comes simply according to how we please Krishna. And what pleases Krishna? A humble service attitude. Back to Srivas Thakur's house. It's the Mahaprakash. And all the biggest Mahatmas in the creation, all these avatars are assembled. You have Mahavishnu Sadashiva in the form of a Dvaita Prabhu, and he's bathing Lord Chaitanya with water. And you have Gadadhar Pandit, who's Srimati Radharani, who's offering nice chewing spices, tambulas, to Lord Chaitanya. And then you have Srivas Thakur, who's Narada Muni, with holding a little umbrella over Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's head. And you have Nityananda Prabhu, Sri Balaram, who's fanning the Lord and pouring water on his head. And you have Haridas Thakur, who's Lord Brahma. And Murari Gupta, who's Hanuman. And Pundarik Vidyanidhi, who's Brishabhanu, the father of Srimati Radharani. And you have Vrakreshwar Pandit, who's Kshirodakshai Vishnu. This is a very esteemed assembly of Vaishnavas. And this is just the beginning. And as all these having big, big kirtan and chanting beautiful prayers, you have Mukunda Dat, who's Madhukanta, an eternal singer cowherd boy in Goloka Vrindavan. And you have Vasudev Ghosh and Madhava Ghosh and Govinda Ghosh, who are also three celebrated beautiful singers in Goloka Vrindavan who have descended. And they're all together. And they're bathing Lord Chaitanya, and he's giving them darshan, sitting on the throne of Srivas. And there's one little maidservant, skinny little lady. She's just, just in the simple robes of a maidservant, and she's looking at these illustrious, powerful avatars, and she's just in the background. But she wants to serve. They're taking the water, picking it up, giving it to another great acharya. They're bathing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and she's just running to the Ganges and filling up clay pots and just putting it in nice straight lines. And just way in the background, way, way, way in the background, just getting, picking. Nobody even sees her. Nobody even knows she's there. It's just the water's there. She's not saying, I'm putting the water. She's just quietly just getting the water, and let everybody else get the credit. Let everyone else enjoy bathing the Lord. I just want to be the servant of the servant of the servant. Nobody noticed her except one person. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Gauranga sees her and points her out to everyone. He stops the whole ceremony. Stops the whole ceremony and says to Srivas, who is this lady? And Srivas said, her name is Duki. Dukhi means miserable. Because she's very poor and maidservant. It's a pretty miserable situation in one sense. She said, her name is Dukhi. And Lord Chaitanya said, the name Dukhi does not sit properly in my heart. Not for her. From this day on, I proclaim her name to be Sukhi. Which means happy. And she became very happy. With giving her the name Sukhi, he gave her love of God. What was her qualification? Her sincerity to serve. She had no position. She had no title. She had no scholarship. She had a desire to serve. That's what pleases Krishna. So we have to somehow or other transform lust into a service attitude. What Krishna consciousness is about is transforming energies, transforming material energy into spiritual energy through service. If we chant the holy names very, very sincerely, Krishna will give us the strength to do it, but we have to use that strength. Yes, there's a house. We have to transform that well into Vaikuntha. We transform our food into prasad. The energy of anger, the energy of pride, the energy of lust that may be within us. Bhakti is about transforming those energies by using them in positive spiritual ways. Very, very important. But we have to be very careful. If we're not aware, Srila Prabhupada said, we have to hear. Prabhupada actually said, we have to hear about these problems of sex life every day. Hare Krishna. Because otherwise we become complacent. We become lethargic. Maya's attacking. If we're not ready for that attack, if we're not alert, we're going to be defeated. And we have to hear about the dangers of false pride. We have to hear about the dangers of anger. We have to hear about the dangers of greed. One of the prominent qualities of a grihasta is charity. If we're just accumulating more and more and more for ourselves to enjoy, and some people, they accumulate, they don't even enjoy it, they just accumulate it. It's just some mental enjoyment knowing there's so much there. Huh? Some misers, they just collect and amass more and more and more, and they don't even give a toy to their children. But they just know it's there. The sense gratification of proprietorship, the sense gratification of ownership, and the sense gratification of also utilizing it. How do we counteract that? By charity. By giving more and more and more, and the best way to use it is to use it to... There's charity in the mode of ignorance, which is to give the wrong thing at the wrong time to the wrong person in the wrong place. And there's charity in the mode of passion, where we give in charity because we're going to get some dividends from it, or we're going to get some fame and prestige from it. There's charity in the mode of goodness, which is to give to the right person in the right place, the right thing, the right time, without any subtle or gross expectations coming from it. And there's transcendental charity, which is charity in the mode of goodness, but with Krishna in the center, to give people Krishna, para upakar, the highest welfare work, by distributing prasad, by distributing the holy name, by distributing Prabhupada's books, by distributing Krishna consciousness. This is how we prevent from being greedy. And by utilizing our senses, our mind, everything in Krishna's service very, very nicely, we can control our lust. and by utilizing the tendency to be angry with Maya instead of other Vaishnavas. When Maya attacks us, when we get this propensity to blaspheme somebody else, does anybody ever get that propensity to criticize others because we're angry? We should just redirect that anger to Maya, to our own will to do this thing, rather than be angry with the person, be angry with Maya for making me angry, because it's going to be the downfall of my spiritual life. So yes, Grihastha Ashram is beautiful when we just learn to transform material into spiritual through humble devotional service. And we read about the great Grihasthas. Now this is going to be a little controversial. I don't know how much the rest of it's been controversial. But we read in the Shastras how Grihasthas, their natural tendency is to consider themselves very fallen. And by doing so, they're very advanced. Everyone's supposed to think themselves fallen. Rupa and Sanatana were Goswamis. They were thinking they were lower than Jagai and Madhai. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, he was a Goswami. And he's thinking himself lower than a worm in stool. This is what the renounced order is about, renouncing false ego. But we also read about the Grihasthas. When Garga Muni came to Nanda Maharaj, he said, "Oh, we fallen Grihasthas, we're busy with our kids and our children and our husbands and our wives, and we have to do all this occupational stuff and we get distracted. But you Brahmins, you come to our house just to enlighten us and remind us." Yes, the Kurma Brahmin, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to his house, "I am most fallen. I am being beaten by the waves of material existence. Please save me." Yes. Yudhisthira Maharaj, when Narada Muni comes, "I'm so entangled in all these worldly affairs. Great souls like you come to our house only to purify us." So this is a very traditional, essential quality of a Grihastha. To want to feel oneself entangled. The worst thing is if you think you're a great Grihastha. You're not supposed to think that. You're supposed to be that, but not think that. Because you can't take shelter if you think you're already there. I'm supposed to think I'm very fallen. Brahmacharis should think they're so fallen. Brahmacharis are the legs of society. Just serve, that's all. And they'll go back to Godhead by doing that. So we find in all the examples of the great souls this mood of "I'm very fallen" and the need for advanced association. Srila Prabhupada said his father was a pure devotee, but every night he would invite all these sadhus in and feed them and ask them for blessings. So in Grihastha Ashram it's very, very important to serve others. To always be seeking out association of those who are advanced, those who are renounced, to just help that spirit in us, because we understand the dangers are there. All these sweet words, and I'm not going to repeat all of it, but pictures in the core of your heart. Pictures are there in the core of your heart, but if you have the deity, then you see all those other pictures around Krishna. They don't become prominent. Krishna's picture becomes prominent in your heart. And that is why it is so important in the Hare Krishna movement, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, we have to do two things especially, and then whatever ashram we're in, we will please Krishna. We have to develop a sincere, humble service attitude. And we have to sincerely seek and access Krishna's mercy through the chanting of his holy names. Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And by hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. Thank you very much. I purposely went too long so there would be no time for questions. Because I know what kinds of questions comes from verses like that. Is there time for questions or should we? Well, one question. Siki Mahiti Prabhu. Ah, Prabhu, yes.
In the second volume of the Bhagavatamrita, and in this chapter on jnana, in the purport, it said how renouncing false ego is as easy as picking a flower. Something like that, I can't remember exactly. And I couldn't understand that because it seems very difficult. Letting go of false ego.
It's easy for some. For Haridas Thakur, it was very easy to chant 300,000 names a day. It was simple as anything. As easy as picking a flower. But for you and me, to chant 16 rounds is sometimes it's like picking up a mountain. So the great souls, they speak in such ways so we understand, you know, how easy it really is. Prabhupada said Krishna consciousness is simple for the simple, but it's very complicated for the complicated. It's actually very easy. It's very natural for the soul to just recognize that Krishna is the doer of everything. False pride is really just being dishonest. That's all. If you're proud, you're dishonest. Because Krishna is the strength of the strong. He's the ability in man. He's the intelligence of the intelligent. He's given us our brain. He's given us our eyes, our senses. He's given us all of everything we have. He's given us the air to breathe, the sunshine to nourish us, the food, the rain. Who are we? If we just have common sense, we understand, like Prabhupada and Jaladutta, Krishna, I'm just your puppet. Just let me be your puppet. Yes? Just let your mercy shine through me. That's all. But ahankar, prakrite kriyamanani gunai karamani sarvasha, ahankara. Bewildered by the modes of material nature, we have this false ego. And with this false ego, we're just in illusion. We think we're the doer. And then we're just liars to take credit for anything. We're liars. We're dishonest. Yes? So yes, being free from the false ego, from the perspective of a liberated soul, it's just plucking a flower. It's the simplest of all things. But when you're entangled in it, when you're engrossed in it, it's simple. But it's hard to do. Simple as picking a flower, but, you know, for the rest of us, you know, that flower's on the top of a tree. and we have to climb to the top of the tree to get to that flower. Does that answer your question? Spiritual life is the easiest thing, but because of our massive conditioning, what's easiest appears very difficult. Thank you very much. But Prabhupada is so kind, he picks the flower for us.
Hare Krishna. So please go over to the tent, those who would like to help us. Men and women, all are invited. We just have to lift it up and then move it to its position. Hare Krishna. Can I see a show of hands who would like to help? Okay, so please go over right away. They are waiting over there. Thank you.